Almighty and everlasting God, who govern all things both in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Psalm 71, to be read responsibly by half verse. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge.
Let me never be ashamed.
In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free.
Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe.
You are my guide and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked. For you are my hope, O Lord God.
My confidence is since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength.
My praise shall go always to you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I only in part, now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of
Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to speak in the synagogue at Nazareth. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure thyself.' And you will say, 'Do you also in your hometown, do here also in your hometown, the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman and the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to ask a Herculean task of you this morning, and that is to remember the lessons we read last Sunday. I know that it's a big deal, but let me refresh your memory. In the gospel reading, we started with Jesus going back to his hometown. He was given now not the standard reading, the reading that would be always assigned, but then the next reading. So not something from the Torah, but now from the prophetic books. He picked the scroll that contained Isaiah, and he read about the healing of blind folks, about the proclamation of the day of the Lord, a vision, if you will, of what it is to live in God's kingdom here on earth. And then he closes the scroll, he sits down, and all the eyes were fixed on him. And then he said to them, and this is the sermon, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Okay, now that's where we began. We repeat that verse from last week. We repeat it in the opening this morning. And then he unfolds what it is to be a part of that kingdom here on earth. He sits down as a sign of his teaching authority, if you will. It's just the reason why when the bishop comes, they move a chair out for him to sit down on it. And you know, so this is a guy who's in charge. And that's what Jesus is doing, and people are now listening. He's got their attention. "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," and they like that. They like the fact that they are now part of the unfolding of God's plan for the creation. Hey, let's listen to this. Unfortunately, then he says something that they don't like. He says, that message, that invitation, that party invitation, if you will, wasn't just sent to you. Well, they are the chosen people, right? What do you mean? Well, it's sent to
others who are not you nice folks out there. And then he cites some scripture verses to sort of back that up. He says, you remember Elijah, he came not to heal you nice folks out there, but a non-Jew. Somebody who's not deserving. That's who he healed. And there are lots of lepers that he could have healed and did. But he chose a Syrian commander. And he chose him to heal. Well, the people got the message and they said, we don't have any room for you here, Jesus. And they moved to throw him off the cliff. But he, in that kind of typical confidence that he had in God's continuing presence, he just walked through the crowd untouched and unconcerned. Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, but it's not only you. And many of you won't accept the invitation. But I got plenty of people in line that I'll invite to the party. But they didn't think so. So we are thinking about, in this season of Epiphany, where God is revealing himself to us, that's what it means, Epiphany. We're thinking about ways that that took place. And last week, we also then read from 1 Corinthians. We read from chapter 12 last week, and now we're moving into 13. And I hope that you're going to see the connection between these two. In fact, there is a connecting verse. It's left out of the lectionary, because they couldn't figure out how to do that. Remember what happened was he talked about the fact that we who are many have many different gifts. And all of those gifts are used for the kingdom of God. In fact, I think I heard, who is the church?
We are
the church. I think I heard that. And we are, as we receive the gifts that God has given us, and then we're called to use those gifts in ministry. And you heard some rhetorical questions. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Are all apostles? The answer, of course, is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? But then he said, but strive for the greater gifts. And then this is left out. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And you ought to kind of lean forward and say, oh, there's a lot of great gifts that were listed here. What is the more excellent way? Though I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And then he goes through all of that and talks about the quality of those gifts. But do you see how they connect? You have all these great gifts? Well, no, not everybody has all the gifts, and we're dependent on each other. But I'll show us you a still more excellent way. I will tell you a little secret. I don't tell too many of the people this, so don't tell anybody else. But I've learned something about clergy that seems somehow relevant to this. There are a lot of clergy who have wonderful gifts. I go to congregation. I used to go to congregations all the time, and there was some difficulty. Usually didn't go with us. There was a difficulty. And they would say, my gosh, he preaches a great sermon. And he gives great Bible studies. And she really, she has such great knowledge. She just doesn't like people. And it's something I've come to almost know as part of the reality of many of our fellow clergy. They like the idea of being a priest. They think that's really cool. And they have gifts. In fact, people say they ought to be in the seminary. Where ought they not to be? In a parish. Because parishioners want one thing above all else. They want to be loved. They want to be with someone who cares about them and who cares for them. And regrettably, they have wonderful teaching gifts. They're kind of proud of the fact that they wear their stole and they can hang on to it. And I can even impress you with a purple sash. Aren't you impressed? I mean, you don't look impressed, but you know, you should be. And they like that idea. They just don't like the idea day in and day out being around people. They kind of get in the way there. In fact, one of the jokes that we sometimes say is this job wouldn't be half bad if it weren't for the people. And you only say that sort of half tongue-in-cheek, unfortunately. Now that's, I think, what Paul's getting at. You can have all the gifts. You can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. You can interpret tongues, which is right down the 1 Corinthians, right down their alley. They said, oh yeah, we do all of that. We did that in spades. We just don't like each other. And it was evident in the way they behaved that was true. And so Paul says this really incredible thing. I mean, we use it a lot of times. We use this lesson a lot of times in weddings. And we think it's really sweet. And it is. And we think it's about romantic love. I'm a huge fan of romantic love, you know, and I'm glad that that was has been part of my life. It sort of fades a little over time, but you know, I still sort of cheer it on. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the way, get this, we in the body of Christ treat one another. And our scorecard probably wouldn't be great. I know mine wouldn't be. Did you listen to what sort of was expected of this love that Paul talks about? He says, love is patient. I mean, I can stop right there. And you ask my wife, is she always patient?
Yeah.
who are you talking about? Love is kind. Well, he's kind sometimes. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Really? You do pretty good by that one, do you? It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. How about this one? Love bears all things. believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay, well, I hope you measure up better than I do. But I want to cling to that vision of what love is, because I want to be more and more like that. And I'll tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what it really is getting at, hang on to your seat, that's the way God loves us. God loves us with a patience that is beyond belief. God puts up with us and our foolishness in ways that, well, no one could ever match. Hopes all things about us. Endures all things from us. And that love, guess what? Will never end. I mean, we sing about that a lot. We sang, well, of course, you don't sing. I understand that. But we sang a hymn last week about that. Let me get it. I've marked it here. And it's called O Zion Haste, Thy Mission High Fulfilling. To tell to all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing that one soul should perish, lost in, should fail to love his might. I hope that's not the hymn. There's something wasn't right. Ever do that? Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. What does that look like? He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity, to help the poor and needy, and those who suffer wrong, and bid the weak be strong, to give them songs for song instead of sighing, their darkness turn to light, whose souls condemned and dying were precious in his sight. I mean, do you know that you are precious in God's sight? No matter what. And no matter what the gifts are that you possess, that you're meant to use, and you're meant to use to give glory to God, no matter those gifts, the greatest gift of all is the gift of love. Do you know that? And in that love, you will forever be precious in his sight. So that's how we greet one another. You are the body of Christ. You are the church. You are the embodiment of what God's love is meant to be. And we fail at that over and over again. We fail to measure up. Even so, we are loved because God is patient. God is kind. Love, God does not insist even on his own way. The invitation is yours. Be a part of God's kingdom and know that love deep in your heart, because you are, above all else, precious in his sight. All right, well, let's stand. We'll join in the creed.